Brothers and sisters, the instructions of the Mass say that the homily should be brief. So, just two things that I'd like to draw our attention to the celebration of this day, of what we participate in. There are two lives that happened in a garden. Notice where today's gospel passage ends. It ends in a garden. The tomb was in a garden. Do you remember the garden from Genesis? This is the place of the tempter. This is the place of one who comes to deceive our first parents. There are at least two lies that are articulated by the deceiver. One is that they cannot trust God, that he is somehow keeping from them something that should make life good, enjoyable, allowing them to experience blessedness. And he's somehow keeping them from it, this knowledge of good and evil. The other lie is that they must act in order to be in the image and likeness of God. God knows that they were created in his image and likeness. But the deceiver says it's conditional. You must act and then you will be like God. And so those two lies are confronted today. The first lie, we see evidence when God becomes man, when God takes to himself human flesh and enters into our reality. In the teachings of Jesus over and over again, we are invited to do what he does because he is revealing who we were created to be. Jesus, in our redemption today, will reveal to us the great dignity of being made in the image and likeness of God, a dignity that is hidden by sin. So Jesus enters into his passion to destroy sin, that our dignity might be revealed again, that we might, in the same manner with which we were created in his image and likeness, that we would be redeemed in the revealing of being made in the image and likeness of God. What God has done makes us in his image and likeness, not what we do, but what God has done for us. The Word of God that created us now takes to himself our humanity and redeems us. The second lie must be confronted, that God is not worthy of our trust and he's keeping something from Adam and Eve. But my brothers and sisters, as we enter into this passion of this day, of all of the things that we see revealed in the passion of Jesus, is the love of the Father for us. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that those who might believe in him might come to eternal life. In the passion of Jesus, what do we see? We see the love of God revealed. We see Jesus completely in charge, having all authority, submitting to those who wish to put him to death. And he goes. He chooses to go to his death because it is his Father's will. And it reveals the love of the Father. When we hear the reproaches as we approach the cross, as we venerate the cross, we hear the reproaches. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I offended you? Answer me. You hear over and over the love of God revealed and all that he has done and all that he has done. The invitation for us, my brothers and sisters, to see and to believe to see and to believe that the truth that is spoken by Jesus, by his very actions, by what he does, that we are loved by the Father. Father's not holding anything back from us, but in fact gives to us everything. We will see the tree of life now planted in this place, and the fruit of the tree of life being given to us. That he's not holding anything back, but that we don't have to reach out and grasp after anything. That God desires to give to us, that we might know his love. So as we enter into this celebration today, my brothers and sisters, know these two things to be true. You are made in the image and likeness of God, and that image and likeness is revealed in the redemption that we receive in Jesus Christ. Your worth, your dignity, who you are, what you are created to be. As I said last night in the homily, you were a gift to be given. And God had to come into the world in order to reveal that. Second, you can trust God because he loves you with a love beyond all telling, a love beyond all price, is offered before your eyes to dispel the lies of the evil one. As you live life, my brothers and sisters, as you experience hardship and difficulty, and the evil one says, see, there, God doesn't love you. See what's happening to your friend. See what happened to your parent. See the sickness that is there. See the accident that is there. God does not love you. Where must you go, my brothers and sisters? Not to believe the lies, but to believe the truth. You must come here. Here, again and again and again, you will see love opened up, broken for you, poured out. He has destroyed death by laying down his life. There's a beautiful homily that was in the Office of Readings earlier this week. And St. Augustine, it's almost comical. St. Augustine says there was this beautiful exchange that happened. We gave God our ability to die. That was the gift that we gave to Jesus. Jesus, here I give you my mortality. I give you the gift of our ability to die. And he takes it and uses it as a weapon to destroy death, that we might receive from him eternal life. My brothers and sisters, there is nothing, absolutely nothing in this world more important than the redemption that Jesus Christ offers to the world by his cross and resurrection. There's no greater sign of love that you would spend eternity separated from him and separated from everyone that you love in the pains of hell. The pains of hell are the separation that we would endure, the suffering that we would endure, this radical separation from all that is good, from all love, from the source of everything that is good. That would not be our state. That would not be our destiny. He invites us into redemption. And of all things, to speak of his love, it's not whether you win the lottery, or whether or not there's an accident, or whether or not you had a good day at work. It's that because of what Jesus has done for you and for me, that we are reconciled to our God and we can live in that life of love now and forever together. Amen.